funny, when we're on holiday, this is actually the start of my talk, when we're on holiday this year, this is my wife Penny, and she's lovely and she's gorgeous, but she's an awful stickler for the rules. I'm not so much a stickler for rules. And we were driving from basically Bordeaux up to Calais on the way home, so we had planned to stop for a picnic with the kids because it's the easiest way to feed them. And so we'll stop at one of those motorway cafe type things, get a bite, and it'll be, you know, when you're leaving your caravan when you're on holiday, you gather up all the stuff out of the fridge, and so your picnic on the way home can either be like a tin of pilchards and half a bag of raw pasta, right? Or I ate quinoa on my holidays. It's stinking. Aye, that stuff. Honestly, quinoa. Mingin. Don't go near it. Thus saith the Lord. Boggin. And so we're on. Oh, it's absolutely shocking. Sin-free. It tastes of nothing. I wasn't even going to have the quinoa. Anyway, there's a point to this story. So we stop at this place, service station. Ben as well, who's 12, is an absolute stickler for the rules. You break the rules once and Ben goes absolutely nuts. Okay, so picture the scene. I say, Penny, I'm going to nip to the loo. And Ben wanted to come with me. So the boys were going to the toilet, and there was a franchised restaurant type thing with all its outside seating. So Penny sits down at this big table, picnic-type table, and lays what can only be described as the most magnificent picnic that has ever been seen. We had salami and bread and rolls, plastic plates, cups. I mean, it was magnificent, absolutely brilliant. However, I sat down, and I went, see the big picnic interdit, okay? No picnic sign, which was like about 19 foot tall, all right? And Penny just went, shut up, shut up. And I went, what do you mean? She says, if Ben sees that, we're dead. And I'm going, no, no, no. So all these people are walking into the service station going, you know, massive sign, and me sitting, trying to eat my lunch with it, because everyone judging us, because there's all these seats which are only for the people in the service station. And then halfway through, because it was in French, now it had a picture of a picnic basket with a big red thing through it, right? So I couldn't even do the whole, sorry, mate, oh, parlez-vous, I couldn't even do that, all right? So because it's a picnic basket with a big red circle and a line. So then Hope, who's 5, goes, what's that sign, right? It's massive. Penny goes, without missing a beat, this is the way she can lie so quick, I can't see it past Daddy's head, right? Daddy's head's not 19 foot tall. It's huge, right? It's absolutely massive. So she's going, move your head, Daddy. And I'm going, which way? It's huge, okay? And then Ben goes, what does picnic interdit mean? Oh, I don't know. But you both speak French. Don't think I know that word. Is that not a picnic basket with a line through it? Oh, I don't really know. At this point, I'm going, oh, just stuffing salami in my mouth, going, oh, we better go. Sometimes, and then he was going, no, it's definitely right. At this point, Sophie, or Hope, stands up in front of all the French people and goes, no, this sign, Daddy, this sign, what does this one mean? And I'm thinking, Penny has her head on the desk, like this. I'm going, eat up, kids, it's time to go, all right? And she's going, no, this one. This, what does this one mean? Don't know. Don't know. Must be a French thing, love. Don't know. Sometimes there are big, massive signs in our lives which we choose to ignore, and we do it at our peril. I'm going to finish today in our series in Samson, and we had a laugh. We did as we went up the road, and Hope's still going, what did that mean? No. So next year we're not going to do that again. But I'm going to talk about breaking the cycle of defeat in your life. I started it last week. If you have not listened to this series in Samson, go back online and get it. It is a now word from God for you and for this church, because it is about how grace breaks the very cycles of things that we all live with every day. And so as Christians, we're really good in an environment outside of grace. What we're really good at is keeping what's in our hearts down, because if anyone really sees what we're like, particularly in a religious environment, oh, you can't get the stuff of your heart out, because you'll be punished for it. Where there's sin, there's punishment. Actually, grace tells us that the punishment was meted on Jesus so that you can live free. And so we're free today as people to allow the love of God to shine into our hearts so that all the mess and the muck, we don't need to live continually going round in that, but we can bring it out because we know that there's freedom. Yeah, that's a better way to live. I'm not punished. He was punished for me so that I can be free. And I started to talk about that last week, how grace breaks the cycle of defeat. And I said that patterns are formed in our lives through many of the years, and there's many years of frustration about hearing about how good God is and about how loving he is, but we live with a sense of frustration that we don't actually see it ourselves. And what I have been saying is 2 Corinthians 3:18 is this: you've got to magnify Jesus. I'm going to talk about this today because what we're going to learn today is this. Whenever Samson literally lost his vision, he was out of rest, and his life was a life of slavery. Whenever you lose vision, and I'm not talking about, you know, when we talk about vision, we can get very corporate and we can get very, this is the vision and people all follow behind it. In the church, the vision is Jesus, all right? And Jesus alone. We can have our goals and we can have what we want to do and what we want to see, but essentially it all flows from a revelation of Jesus. And so the first vision is Jesus in all of his beauty, all of his glory, all of his wonder. Samson is raised as a deliverer. His name means light. But what I said last week is this is the mental crazy thing that people do. He's raised up to deliver people and he ends up giving himself to the very thing that he is called to raise people from. And we can look at that and go, oh, Samson, you buck Egypt. But we do it every day. We all do it every day. It's vital to see the patterns so that we can identify them and allow the power of grace to break them for us. The issue, I said last week, was not the issue. Isn't that a great expression? The issue is not the issue. It helps you to see things differently, doesn't it? It helps you to see people differently. Lust would be his downfall, but that was only the fruit. The fruit was lust, the root was rejection. And like him, what I said is if you're struggling with lust, pornography, if you're striving for in any of those areas, but if you're just lusting after position or whatever it happens to be, understand that the root of that in your life is rejection. Because when we live without unconditional love and we live without unconditional acceptance, what we do as people is we look for it in other things. And so when you give yourself to sexual fantasy, what's going on there is not just your old dirty big beasts, as I said last week. I love that word because nobody on the podcast will understand it. You have to be from Northern Ireland or Belfast to get based. But you're not dirty beasts, all right? What's happening is actually the subtext, the meta-narrative inside of you is like, I want approval. I want you to love me. I want this to be okay. And so therefore, the actual drive is not just sexual. It's much deeper than that. It's I want affirmation. And so that's where fantasy comes from. And whenever you live like that, what happens is you see, that's why people get all, and the church has done such a bad job of this. We get people all tied up with 10 steps to freedom and 9 steps to this. And, you know, I read this week from a really big, speaker. It's probably about 5'10". I don't know what size he is, but he's very popular, that's what I mean. And he was talking, boom, boom, got that one for free. And, he was talking about how what you need is you need really good theology and lots of self-discipline, and you'll be free from sexual temptation. And I went, utter nonsense, Mr. Piper, rubbish. You need a revelation of Jesus and unconditional love, and that'll set you free. And so we talked about that last week, which was good. And, you know, so whatever behaviors you're struggling with, porn, gossip, insecurity, comparing yourself, whatever your dysfunction is, let Jesus deal with the root by showing you that you're unconditionally loved and by affirming you. Now, I said last week as well, don't lose your vision. Many have been able to stand against the roar of the lion. The devil is described in two ways, primarily in the Word of God. He's described as a lion who roars and a serpent who whispers. And many people in the Christian journey are able to withstand the roar of the lion. And the Spirit of God, even in the life of Samson, under the old covenant, when the armies would come against him and when strength would come against him, he's able to stand against the roar, but he's not able to withstand the whisper. The enemy comes, and what does he do? Shouts? No, because every time he shouted, Samson stood because the Spirit of the Lord was on him. So he changes tack. Whisper, 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 whisper. He sows lies. He sows doubt. He sows confusion. He sows jealousy. He sows selfish ambition and conceit. He sows accusation. He sows judgment. And remember, it's all about stealing, killing, and destroying. It's so subtle, but it's not new, but it's very, very effective. Remember going back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, did God really say? He accused God. Did God really say? So many of us are standing against the enemy. Ah, that's fine. You need to stand against the enemy and listen for the whisper. Because that's where most people fail. That's where most people don't make it on the journey. And that's why we need to see the big, massive picnic enter date signs all the way through these stories. Because these stories are given to us so that we can see in Hebrews 11:32, look at Samson. He's lifted up as a man of faith that we need to be like. So before you all go out and go, brilliant, I'm going to be throwing my leg everywhere when I get out. No, you're not. That's not what it's about. It's about look at the principles and look at what God was doing and learn from them so that you can overcome and allow grace to set you free. Isn't that cool? And so I'm going to finish off on that. I said that Delilah, her name, Delilah, I can't help it. Every time I hear her name, I start to sing the song. Her name means the exhausting one. Now, what I said before all the men got excited last week and said, oh, Lord, bless my wife with the spirit of Delilah. All right? Seriously, what a way to go. At least you go with a smile on your face. Huh? Brilliant. That's not what it meant, okay? Yes, she was used sexually in this whole story with Samson, but not exhausting in a good sense. Sorry, men. So before you've been getting up early in the morning, just 6:30, cup of tea, just need to pray to the Lord here. That's not what was going on. What it was Judges 16:6 said, she did not let go until she got what she wanted from him. I'm going to come onto this today. And she pressed him hard with her words. And day after day, and urged him, and his soul was vexed unto death. What happens is that when the whispers of the enemy come, this is just me going over last week, when the whispers of the enemy come, it's so subtle, but it's every day, day after day after day after day, whispering in your ear, getting you to compare, getting you to gossip, getting you to give yourself to sexual fantasy, giving you to do whatever it is, and it's that day after day that vexed the guy unto death until he gave up. You know, as a church, that's why we are equipping you with so much great stuff online right now. Daily feeding. If you don't use it, hey, you're silly. Hundreds of talks will soon be online. I think we've probably tons more to put up from people like Pastor Prince and Josh McCauley in South Africa and Marcel in Holland and other people going up there. Because in Romans 10:17, it says, faith, belief and trust in God comes by hearing and hearing through the word. Not, I heard that 3 years ago and I've got it licked. It comes by hearing. Why? Because look at the pattern. She came, Delilah, that spirit came day after day after day after day, whispering, whispering, whispering. And what you need to do is every day counter and keep yourself, what? Lifting your head up to see Jesus. If you take a few days off, it'll affect you. This week, I listened to some phenomenal teaching by Pastor Prince and by Danny Silk, and the difference for me was incredible. Honestly, the difference in me was incredible. From, oh my God, this is awful, to, actually, I've got a good, good Father what loves me. Amen. I've got a big future. I've got a big hope. God's constantly reminding me that he's good, that he's not finished with me, that it doesn't matter what people say, that I am a child of God, and if he called me, then nobody's going to stand against the purpose of God in my life, because he's good all the time. Amen. Amen. All right? And so I either wallow in the dust, that's what Philistines mean. Philistine, the name means to wallow in the dust, or I wash myself and let faith and belief and trust come, because I'm hearing the word of Christ. Feed yourself, people, every day. Okay? Feed yourself. It's there. We're doing it for free. Go get it. If you're online, you can't get it, but if you're in this church, you can. So let me just, that's just a recap to set the scene. We're going to finish off. Turn up Judges chapter 16. And do you know what one of my, if you've got your Bibles, if you don't bring your Bibles to church, I wonder about that. Bring your Bibles to church, because when I preach, I'm going to refer to lots of different verses. One of my favorite hymns, we were married singing it. In fact, it's the Northern Ireland marriage hymn, isn't it? Be Thou My Vision. Anyone? Be Thou My Vision. Da, da, da. Played that for years with Robin Mark in band. Be Thou My Vision. And you know, I grew to hate the hymn because I'd heard it that often. And then this week I listened to it again and actually found a new love for it. And you know, in faith circles, whenever we talk about vision, because what we're going to see today is why you need a revelation of Jesus to break the cycle of defeat in your life. You do not need principles first. You do not need good ideas first. You do not need opinions first. To break a cycle in your life of going round and round, you need a vision of Jesus. You need a vision of his love. You need a vision of him as Father, and that's where it starts. I understand vision well, having worked in business and dealing with business people. We talk about vision being casting a compelling vision of the future, create an image in the minds of people of what could be so that they will follow, all very corporate kind of stuff. I want to say to you this morning, I believe that that has a role, but actually the vision that you need before you, before anything else this morning, is Jesus Christ. The words of the hymn, "Be thou my vision," the Jesus of love, the Jesus of compassion, the Jesus of forgiveness and mercy, the Jesus of hope and healing and security and provision, the Jesus of strength and wisdom, the Jesus of your future, the one who calms your storm, the one who appoints you and the one who anoints you, the one who is faithful to every word and to every promise. Because when Jesus is revealed, all our fear goes. Principles don't get rid of our fear. Jesus gets rid of our fear. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 4:18. It says, there's no fear in God's love, agape, but perfect love, the love of Jesus, casts out, drives away all fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Amen. When I reveal Jesus to you, whenever you have Jesus revealed to you, you will be changed. Whatever you're afraid of today won't be driven out by your good work and your good effort and your good principle. It won't be driven out by the opinion of somebody else. It'll be driven out as you see him, where you dwell on him, where you lift him up, where you fill your heart with him, where you let his praises come out of your mouth, where before all things, Jesus is revealed. And that's what we're doing as a church. Isn't that awesome? So this week I found in my heart such peace coming as I focused not on what's going on around me, but who he is in the middle of it all. And I'm telling you, you will be changed. If you struggle today, if you are struggling with church, with Jesus, with God, with habit, with all of that stuff, today my heart is that we look at the last bit of this story, allow Jesus to be revealed in you, and you'll be changed. Amen. So let's look at Judges. I love this, you know why? Because, you know, the inward state of rest, and that's what we're going to talk about today, will produce good fruit. You know, all of our mess in our lives can be traced back to this one thing. We didn't trust God at a point. Every sin is rooted in not trusting God. And every time we don't trust God is because we have a lack of revelation of Father. So we reveal Jesus as Father, and it deals with our sin. But also, the more we keep that, the more it leads us away from sin. So if you're... I'm going to get to that now. As I receive him, his perfect love will drive out all fear. So let's read Judges 16. This is a good bit. And when my Delilah saw that he had told her, had told her with all his heart, So what happens here is Delilah, day after day after day after day, comes and she vexes him and vexes him unto death. All right? Whisper. The guy gives up. She sent and she called the lords of the Philistines. The word lords here is only used around the five lords who governed the Philistines. We don't see it anywhere else, but it's going to be key for later on. Saying, come up again, for he has told me all of his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought her the money in their hands. 1,100 pieces of silver each. That's what they were paying her to betray Samson. She made him sleep on her knees. She called a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines, they seized him, they gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. So much beautiful imagery in here. It's amazing. They seize him, they bring him to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze shackles. And he began, and he ground at the mill in the prison, but the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. This is, I think there's something really, really clear here. Look at the way that this works and get a revelation for your life. Whenever Samson is dealing with Delilah, all right, remember he's born and raised as a deliverer from the Philistines, and we think that although it is not explicit. We believe that Delilah is a Philistine, and that's why she's in the Valley of Sorek where they are, and that's why he falls in love with her. Now look at the way that this works, and for goodness sake, listen to me, because there's revelation for you this morning. The whispers come, and where do they whisper into? They whisper into your flesh and not into your spirit man, which was born again whenever you became a Christian. It doesn't, whenever the whispers come, they never appeal to the bit of you that was changed and transformed from glory to glory. Isn't that right? The whispers come from Delilah, and she's going, tell me your strength. She's leading them astray. Now, what happens here is that what we see, this is the cycle that needs to be broken. And whenever we get a God view and a God vision, whenever we see Jesus revealed, we will see how the enemy works in our lives, and then we're able to allow a grace to flow. Because Samson is, if you look at Samson's view, and this is what happens to us, that for a moment, I bet you whenever he was sleeping with Delilah, it felt brilliant. Now, whenever you give yourself to the flesh, whether it's pornography, whether it is gossip, whether it's slander, in that moment, it feels good, doesn't it? Let's be honest. Oh, got that off my chest. I put him right, right? And you go away, and all that's happened is you fed your flesh. And for that wee moment, the flesh goes, that's wonderful. Really, really enjoyed that. Now, whenever Samson was giving himself to Delilah, I bet you he had convinced himself that this was a good thing to do and the right thing to do. But if he was able to take a step back and see the God view and the Jesus view of what was going on, he would have a totally different view of what he was giving himself to. If we do that the same way, I guarantee you, grace will flow and you'll be able to live differently. Who was behind? Was Delilah the issue? No. Who was behind it? The lords of the Philistines. Remember, the lords of the Philistines, the image is these people want you wallowing in the dust. Do you understand that? So in Samson's moment, Delilah, listen to me, is only the bait. But because he's acting in his flesh, the bait tastes good. But if he was able to take a step back, what he would see is that actually, you know, and as I was thinking about this week, what I saw was our battle is not flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers. And the image here is the Lord of the Philistines act like principalities and powers. And you have a man born for deliverance, born for freedom, born, and he's given himself in the moment into the flesh because it feels good. If he just took a step back, if he knew what we know by looking at the story, you'd go, Samson, she was only the bait to destroy you. But we give ourselves to things in the moment because it feeds our flesh. But if we took a step back, we would see that actually the spirit behind it is to bait us to destroy us. Do you get that? And so I see it in this. In the moment, folks, you know, it may even feel right to you, but take a step back and see with the eyes of Jesus, and you will in fact see that the powers behind us giving ourselves to silly things are only set on destroying us. There's no life and there's no freedom in it. They are a fraud. It's only Jesus revealed and his grace revealed that brings real freedom. Because look what happens. You know, this is what happens when you put Jesus front and center and you wash yourselves with the truth every day. There's two unbelievable verses that the Lord gave me revelation on years ago. John 8:32 and John 14. In John 8:32, Jesus said this, "You will know the truth and the truth will set you free." And you go, oh, that's principles. No, it's not. The word he uses here is aletheia in Greek. And he says, then in John 14, he says, I am the way and I am the truth. So what he says is, when you experience me, not principles, but when you experience me and my love and my grace, you will know me and I will set you free. Do you get that? Aletheia used two ways. Aletheia means this. It was in Greek culture, it was synonymous for reality. It was the opposite of illusion. It was fact. Do you get that? So here you have Samson, and what happens in our lives is we have the illusion that sowing to our flesh is going to bring us freedom. It's going to feel good, and in the moment it maybe does, but the big picture is the spirit behind that is only out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So don't give yourself to it. Give yourself to Jesus in all of his revelation, because he's the opposite of illusion. He is fact. You get that? That's a good word for somebody today. That is Holy Spirit revelation for some of you today. To go, I only ever see it here. I only see it when I'm in the moment, and it feels good, and it feels right, and take a step back and go, what is the spirit behind it? Because whenever you give yourself to pornography, as an example, in the moment, it feels wonderful. It feels like all your flesh is getting what you want. The subtext of affirmation and approval running like mad, coursing through your veins, what you're desperately searching for. But behind it, we know that it will only ever steal, kill, and destroy you. Isn't it right? Men and women both. And so allow the grace of God and the revelation of Jesus, who is fact and not illusion, to be first and foremost in your mind, and let him heal you. Man, grace will break that cycle for you. It'll break that cycle of shame and guilt. It'll break that cycle of condemnation. And so whenever you allow the unconditional love of Jesus and you keep him washing over you and faith comes, then you will understand and you will see like he sees, and you will not give yourself to something that will destroy. All the principles in the world, I'm sorry, Mr. Piper, will not help the people of God get free. Jesus healing their hearts will. All right? First and foremost, Jesus revealed. Jesus revealed. Don't buy the illusion. Set your mind on fact. I love this. She made him sleep on her knees. So the picture is he's lying on the bed. She's sitting up, and he's got his head on her knees. And she called a man, and she had him shave off, listen, the 7 locks of his head, and then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Every little detail there for a reason. The 7 locks of hair. What does 7 speak of? Rest and perfection. On the 7th day, we're told that God the Father rested, not because he was tired, but because creation was perfect, and so he rested in a perfect work. And so what we see here in Samson, it's not like they're filling up lines here. 7 locks. What it signifies is this, that the source of his strength was rest.
Oh, don't cut his hair off. It's magic hair. You know what I mean? Samson's got magic hair.
No, he didn't. It's all magic. No, big image. 7 locks. It speaks of rest and perfection. And what happens is the torment comes. And instead of a man who knew to just get before the Lord and be healed, what happens is when the rest is taken, all of his strength goes with it. Whenever, here's the illusion that is the opposite of the fact of Jesus being your rest. I can do it. It's about me. That I need to do. I cannot trust the Lord. That is all illusion. It's not fact. Jesus is fact, and that's why you can be revealed every day. Because what happens here is literally the 7 locks, the perfection and the rest, his ability to overcome and fulfill his calling was found in his rest. And as soon as that's taken from him, there is nothing left in him. Your strength is not enough. That's the beautiful image there, isn't it? Take away the hair, take away the rest, and he's unable to do anything. And what happens then? She torments him. She torments him. When you give yourself to the flesh, there is a day where it will torment you because sin will ultimately destroy. People say, oh, grace teachers, you just don't mention sin. Sin will destroy you. But what I understand is Jesus is greater than sin. So we don't preach sin, we preach Jesus, because as you lift Jesus up, sin goes. Amen? But don't give yourself to it because it'll torment you and kill you. That's the truth of it. But Jesus is greater still. And the more we reflect on Jesus, the more we'll be delivered. And then she says to him, verse 20, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as in other times, and I'll shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. When you're out of rest, when you're into self-righteousness, when you're into your own effort, when you're into making it happen, you'll stand up one morning and go, ah, don't worry, I've got this covered. And boom, you get into a cycle of defeat again. Let grace set you free. Rest, rest, rest. His strength was found in rest. He was separated unto rest. And grace frees you to rest. Because when Jesus is revealed, you don't need to worry about your provision because he's a father who has already supplied out of his riches. You don't need to worry that you'll be taken early because you have a hereditary disease in your family. Because as you reveal Jesus and you rest, what does he tell you? I'm your healer. Yeah. Amen. You don't need to worry about your future because and what's going to happen and who's going to be there and what's going to, all that kind of stuff. Because why? You reveal Jesus in all of his beauty and all of his glory, and he's bigger and his love is stronger still, and it washes over you. And what happens? You don't then start to make silly decisions trying to work it out in yourself. Because when you get out of rest and you're out of that place, you become self-righteous. And Samson, we look at it for our benefit, and he goes, he couldn't do a thing. Your strength is found resting in that, in Jesus revealed. just let him wash over you. Man, see, seriously, it sounds awful lazy, but it's not. It's the most wonderful place to be. Penny and I have been discovering layers and layers and layers of this, where it's like, what if I, we used to do that, what if I, that didn't work. Can we cut that out? Okay. What if I, it's like, that's not even a W. Is that a W? Anyway. Whatever. And it's not whatever, whatever. It's like, I can't ever work this one out, but I'm in the arms of a Savior who will never let me down. Man. And then you go, isn't God good? Let's get up and enjoy this life, because that's what we're called for. Let me finish with this point. When you lose your rest, ultimately it will look like a loss of vision and a loss of freedom. Literally, they take Samson's sight here. Now, they gouge his eyes out. And so there's a natural thing happening with a spiritual sense for it. Now, this is flipping brilliant. Who tells me grace is not all over the New Old Testament? Every bit of this Bible reveals Jesus. Every single bit. From Genesis chapter 1, Jesus revealed, all the way through to the end. Jesus revealed. Now, he loses sight. Now, what do they do? He loses all sense of perspective in the physical world, and this is going to mirror what's happening in the spiritual sense. What do? They shackle him. To shackle means to bind and to tie. And what did they shackle him with? Bronze. We all know what bronze means? Judgment. Isn't that right? So when we see judgment, or we see bronze in the Bible, it signifies judgment. He gets out of rest, literally. Gouge out his eyes, he loses vision, and the next result is this, he is bound in judgment. Whenever you step out of rest and you try to do it yourself, the result is judgment in your life. You judge God because, hold on, God, I'm doing and you're not coming through. You judge other people. God, why is it working for them and not working for me? And you judge yourself, I'm not good enough. The result of out of Jesus revealed and that rest is shackled with judgment and condemnation. If you're experiencing that this morning, get back to Jesus revealed. Do you understand? And what happens then is he goes round and round and round. Judgment and condemnation, I covered in week one, but that's what grips you when you're out of rest. If you find yourself accusing God, accusing other people, and accusing yourself, you're shackled with judgment. Get back to rest. Get back to, you know, he had his eyes literally gouged out. You know, that's not going to happen to you, hopefully, but you know, but if it does, unlucky. So he literally then walks around in trouble. I backed myself into that one. I had nowhere of going with it, so I just, unlucky. So the point is, he literally shackles himself, okay, with judgment. And what happens, here's the picture. Throw up this picture here. This is the best one I could find. This is what it looked like. He was put into a mill, and literally every day he walks around in circles. Oh man, what a picture. I mean, you'd have to be a really bad preacher to mess this one up. So you get out of rest, you lose vision, you shackle yourself in judgment, and the result is day after day going round in circles as a slave. That's a cycle of defeat, isn't it? Anyone go, God, I've been there? Reveal Jesus today. Lift Jesus up. Because this is what happens. He just goes round and he goes round. And so many of us have had those times in our lives where we feel like, God, I'm going round the same circle. I'm going around the same old, and it's Jesus revealed in all of his grace and his glory that will set you free. Because literally, this is what his world starts to look like. He goes round, and I said Jesus comes to break that cycle in our lives with his love and with his grace, with his truth and with his promises. We wash ourselves in that, and you know, there's something incredible in this story buried right now, which I'm going to show you. All this happens in Gaza, all right? Every detail matters in the Word. This may be where you're at today. There may be some bit of your life today where you go, God, you know, I want your grace to set me free. I want out of a cycle, whether it's in my mind or in my body, of the same old, same old. I'm sick. Who's sick of the shame and the condemnation? Yeah? Okay. If you're sick of the shame, the guilt, or the condemnation, this is a brilliant place to be today. You know why? Because look what happens. And this is why Jesus' perspective and Jesus revealed is our job as a church. Because he's in Gaza. You go, so what? Well, remember a few weeks ago, I said that he had already been to Gaza before. And what did he do when he went to Gaza? He defeated the stronghold. He went to the gates of Gaza, remember, at the very start of Judges 16, and he ripped up the gates and he put them on his back and he carried them up the hill to Hebron, which means fellowship. So listen to me. Here you find him in the same place, but what you find is this, that the stronghold was already defeated. The victory was already won. When you took the gates of the city, you took the whole city. It was the place of government. It was the place of council. It was the place of law. And so whenever they attacked a city, they would take the gates, destroy the gates, and then the whole city fell. So listen, Samson had already done it. Whatever the time is before, he's now shackled. He had already had his victory, and he was standing in a place of victory, even though it looked like he was going around in circles. Oh, listen, what I'm trying to say to you is this. What's your view? The Lord said to you this morning, and he's saying to you now, you may feel like you're going round. You may feel like you've lost vision and lost sight. You may feel like this is a dreadful way of just grinding it out. You may feel like you're in that cycle, but actually, as a new covenant believer, you're standing in victory. The victory was already won before you ever stood there. Do you get that? The gates of hell will not prevail. That's why Jesus used that expression, will not prevail against the work of Christ. And so you might be in Gaza going round, but Gaza means victory today. Does that make sense? So what's your view? Some of you are going around going, oh, God, this is awful, terrible, oh, my God, grace, I dead on. But actually, this is why we preach John 19:30, it is finished. You're coming not to your victory, but from a place of victory. Amen. And you might be standing with all of what you can see in front of you. It is not fact, it is illusion, aletheia. Truth is Jesus and his promise over all, and you are standing in a place where the stronghold is defeated, the work is complete, and now it's just a matter of you lifting up your eyes and you seeing Jesus again. That's a good word, isn't it? Oh, man. Do you think they just put, oh, he was in Gaza because it was some kind of like, oh, let's just fill in a wee bit of detail for these people. No, he's in Gaza because we're told at the start he went there, ripped up the gates to Hebron fellowship. Fellowship restored in that place where you're going round and round circles. Oh, man, that's a good word. All depends on your perspective. Let me finish with this one point. Be wise as I finish on Samson. What's the one area for believers that the devil comes to remove to cut off your locks of rest? You can go backwards in this, okay? If you're feeling like I'm going around in circles, it means that you're out of rest, so you need to reveal Jesus. Wash over the truth, all that sort of stuff. The first area that you need, if you want to be completely in rest, is you need to be saved. If you're not saved this morning, then you need to be. Okay? No, I'm completely and utterly 100% that you need a revelation and transformation from the inside out. Okay? You'll be made brand new, and you'll be given the gift of a clean conscience. Good place to start, amen. What about for believers? For believers, it's all in here. Now, this is where, generally speaking, we'll default to Romans 12, and I'll go, be transformed then by the renewing of your mind. You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Brilliant. Let me take you back to the Old Testament and leave you with these verses, because they're absolutely awesome. In Ezekiel, it talks about rules for the Levitical priests. It says this, when they enter the gates of the inner court, they shall wear linen garments. They shall have nothing of wool on them while they minister at the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen undergarments around their waist. They shall not bind themselves with anything that causes sweat. Ooh, isn't that awesome? You wear linen, not wool, because as the priests of God, the sons of God, we don't attach ourselves to anything that causes sweat. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweated blood literally into the ground in Gethsemane. Blood poured from him, and he sweated it into the ground to redeem us from Adam's curse. Okay? And he said, no longer by the sweat of your brow, literal blood dripping into the ground to redeem that ground and redeem us from the curse. And so he says to the priests, a foreshadow of Jesus saying, you're not dressed in wool, causing you to sweat. And he said, where does he put it? First of all, on their heads. Keep a cool head, folks. Keep a cool head. Beautiful, isn't it? Your head's all hot and sweaty and working it out and da-da-da-da-da. Keep a cool head. Bind it with, not with wool, with linen, because we do not attach ourselves to things that cause sweat. Being redeemed from that. What's that? The truth of Jesus. The truth of Jesus. Honestly? If I could do anything for you this week, it would be slightly disturbing maybe, but it would be to pop up at random times during your... Hello, at the window. Got a stalker, 999. But I would love to do that in a kind of non-stalkerish, threatening kind of way, if that's possible. I mean, there's that odd guy in his pink shirt. Red. Okay. would be to pop up and say, hey, have you washed yourself today with Jesus? Have you allowed grace to break that cycle? Have you counterbalanced the whisper? Do you see that every time you want to give in to that flesh, it's simply approval, affirmation that you're really searching for? And the scheme behind that is to kill you. So just take a step back and go, in this moment, I need Jesus. Say to Jesus, if you go to a computer screen this week, any of you, to look at something, confess your righteousness. Oh, that blows the flipping socks off the religious people. Oh no, you dirty brute. Go out and confess your sins and wash poor people to make yourself better. No. In your moment of failure, confess your righteousness. That'll break the cycle. At the very moment where you pull out for that sneaky fag, all right? How Belfast was that? Sneaky fag, right? Seriously? Oh, wee sneaky fag and no one sees, mate. All right? Ben will say that to me at times. Speak East Belfast, though. And you feel the guilt. Confess your righteousness. At the bit where you really want to give somebody the what for, confess your righteousness. Reveal Jesus at every time. Reveal his grace. And that underlying current that the Lord still needs to heal will be transformed. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.